We continue the shiur in Sichei Sadan, Simen Kuf Mem Tes, paragraph 149, in which for the past few shiurim we've been dealing with the story of the Sipurim Maaseis, 13th story, the Zion Bedlars. We do not expect to give a synopsis each time. You know already very well the story up to here, story of the couple at their wedding who had seen, during their childhood, had seen the Zion Bedlars, these seven beggars, Bedlars the Sadiqim, the Sadiqim Gemurim, which of course, as we explained, is the Tzadik Gomor, possesses all these seven Sfidais, which is the Tzadik Gomor was Bechinas Zeinampin. Each day, during the Sheva Brachos, Sheva Simei Mishta, the couple, Chosan and Kala, through their craving, yearning, and crying to see the Bedlars again, was zecha to have a Bedlar appear each day, which means the Tzaddik appear in that form each day in order. And each day the Tzaddik, the Bedlar, would come, would give them a bracha, a matona. Originally he had given them a bracha, now he gave them a matona, a gift, the powers that he possessed. We now come to the fourth day, Sfidas Netzach. Fourth day, Menazal continues the story. The morning of the fourth day, the couple again began to yearn very much for the fourth Bedlar. These Zion Bedlars, of course, came in a form. They appeared with physical defects. Each one showed that the physical defect was only an illusion. Fourth Bedlar, whose throat was crooked, a crooked neck, out of position, disjointed. This fourth Bedlar with the crooked throat came, appeared suddenly to them, and he told them also, at first, when I saw you first as children, I gave you a bracha, you should be like me. Now I give you this as a wedding gift, an actual gift that you should be like I am. You think, it appears to you that my throat is crooked. The truth is, it is not crooked at all. Contrary, I have a very smooth throat, a throat of great beauty. The throat is the tube through which comes the sound. All types of sounds come from the throat. The reason my throat is crooked, because I bent it, I closed off all the sounds of the world that I do not wish to participate in. I have no part of the foolish sounds that are heard in the world. Now, we're not speaking about words, speech. This was the other Bedlar. Speaking now about different types of sounds. So the Bedlar continued, my throat is a very wonderful one, one of great wonders, because I have an unusually marvelous type of voice. And all these sounds of the world, every kind of sound in the world, sound without speech, I can produce with my voice. Because of the fact that my throat is such a marvel. Now, as to the truthfulness, veracity of this statement, I have the confirmation by a certain land. This land will confirm my statement. Again, he too told a usual story, a strange story, about, as he told this land, where they were all extremely versed and experts in the chachma, the knowledge, the wisdom of music. Music comes in two forms, both in instruments, playing of music and instruments, and singing. Produce sounds by voice, vocal cords that produce singing also. All the people in that land were well-learned and experts in this chachma, this wisdom of music, even the smallest children. There was no child there who did not have the talent, the ability to play a musical instrument. And even the least informed, the least learned in that land, least learned in music, least developed, was considered in any other land the wisest, greatest in wisdom in the chachma of music. Imagine then how the actual chachamim, the outstanding wise men and the king himself, how they excelled the orchestras, the different types of musical groups, how they excelled in this chachma of music. Now, to illustrate, he told that one time the wise men of that land were assembled, and each one spoke proudly about his ability, his special talent in this chachma of music. First one boasted that he knew how to play expertly on a certain musical instrument. Next one boasted that he too knew how to play on a different musical instrument. Each one following him spoke about his ability to play to excel on a certain instrument. Then one spoke up and said he knew how to play many instruments. Another one said he knew how to play all musical instruments. It was better than the former ones. Each one knew more, was more expert, he spoke up later. As we said, the last one said he knows how to play every type of musical instrument there is. The next one said that he could, with his voice, produce the sounds of a certain instrument. The other one said, I could produce the sound of a different instrument. And this one, third one, said I could produce the sound of a number of instruments. One said he could produce the sound of a difficult instrument, a drum. The actual sound of a drum, the beating of a drum, he could produce it with his voice. The following one said he could produce more than just that. Speaking about producing sounds, he could produce sound with his voice, sound of weapons of war. He could produce the sound of a cannon with his voice, which is more unusual than producing music. Now, this Bettler, the fourth Bettler, said, I was there too. I spoke up and I said to all of them, my voice is better than all your voices, and I can prove it. Because if you are such wise people, such wise men in this chachma of music, vocal cords, let us see if you could help those two certain lands. Because there are two lands that are 1,000 miles apart. It means a very great distance apart. There is no actual contact, seemingly, between these two lands. And yet, the same problem exists in both of these lands. As soon as nighttime comes, no one in these two lands can sleep. Speaking, of course, about, we say land, it means a city or state. No one in these lands can sleep, because as soon as the night begins, everyone there, men, women, and children, begin to cry, to sob, to wail very bitterly. So much so, the sound is so tragic and so sad that even a stone lying there would melt out of pity, out of compassion, for the sound of this wailing. Why do they cry? What makes the people in these two lands cry? Because as soon as nightfall comes, they hear the sound of an unusual type of wailing and crying, and this brings out, it leads them also into crying. They join the sound of this wailing and crying. The same thing takes place in the second land. Both lands, exactly the same thing takes place. As soon as nightfall comes, though they are 1,000 miles apart, they both hear the sound of this wailing, and they too begin crying. Now, my challenge to you, wise men, is, if you are that wise in the wisdom of music, the wisdom of sound, let us see if you can help the people of those two lands, or if you could imitate with your voices the sound of that wailing. You can imitate the wailing sound. You say you can imitate musical instruments, you can imitate the sound of cannon. Let's see if you can, with your voice, imitate the sound of that wailing. And these wise men said to this Betler, will you take us to that land, to one of those two lands? Let us hear it for ourselves. He told them, yes, I'll take you there. They were all aroused with a strong desire to go there. And so they went along with this Betler. They came to one of these two lands. When they arrived there, close to the land, as soon as nightfall came, all of these, they heard this wailing in this city, this land, and all of these wise men too began to wail along with them. This fact proved that they could do nothing to help the people there. How could they help them to stop this wailing if they too joined in their crying? It showed they were helpless. So the Betler said to them, to these wise men, could you at least tell me the reason? What causes this wailing? Now that you are here, now that you've heard the sound of this crying, what is the reason for it? They said to the Betler, well, do you know the reason? He replied, I surely know. Of course I know the reason. I'll tell it to you. Reason is that there are two birds, two pure birds, one male and one female. And they are a couple, a unique couple, only one of its kind in the entire world, all of existence. These two birds are mates. One time, the female became lost, wandered off, and the male bird went to search after this female bird. Continued his search, his quest, search of his mate, a long time. In fact, the female who got lost also searched after the male, until he became so lost, so distant one from the other, they saw that it would be impossible, seemed impossible to find each other. They finally decided to settle down, to build a nest for themselves. One bird built a nest outside, but close to one of these two lands. Close, not actually in the land itself, outside of the land. It really wasn't that close, except that from the sound of a bird's voice, that was close, because the sound of the bird could be heard inside that land, from where the bird made the nest. So too, the female bird also, the second land, 1,000 miles away, also built the nest, also close to the second land, and there too, this female bird settled down. As soon as nightfall comes, this couple, this mate, these two birds, begin to cry, to wail, with an extreme degree of sadness, each one crying for his mate, his or her mate. When this sound of the wailing, this pure sound, deep, heartfelt sound, tragic sound coming from these birds is heard, these two lands, then it's impossible for them to sleep. They all begin to cry along too, and that is why there is no sleep possible. This is their problem. So these wise men said, the story is interesting, but it's difficult to believe. Could you take us to these birds, to one of these birds? Take us to the place where the nest is. Let's see this bird for ourselves. The butler said, yes, I could lead you to this bird, but you really cannot get there, because if you come close to this bird's nest, you will not be able to bear, to live through, tolerate the sad, tragic sound of the actual wailing of this bird itself. Since even here too, in the city, which is far from the bird, you just hear the wailing of the people, when you hear the birds wail from a distance, also you're forced to cry along too. You cannot take it. You cannot stand there and listen. You soften up, and you begin to cry along too. And surely, you will not be able to tolerate at all the actual crying of the bird from close by. Now, the question is, that's at night. How about by day? You come there by day. So he said, by day it's also impossible, because just as you cannot bear, tolerate the sadness of at night, you cannot tolerate the simcha, the happiness that exists there by day. Because by day, all the birds gather around each one of this couple, and they console, they bring simcha, they try to bring happiness to each one of the couple. And this simcha reaches a degree that is so great, the words of consolation that they give them, telling them that they will still be able to find each other, till it reaches a point that it's impossible for human to be able to bear the high degree of simcha that's found there. The sound of the birds, though, as they bring this simcha, this happiness, cannot be heard from a distance, only close by. And that's why by day, the lands do not detect anything special, these two lands. It's only at night, when the sound of this pair begins to wail, that it's heard from a distance. For this reason, you cannot get close there. So the wise men said to the butler, but you claim that you can correct this. Can you really correct this situation? And he said, yes, I can, and I'll tell you how. Now, first, to understand what is meant by these two birds. What is the story speaking about? Everything, of course, in these stories is in very deep code. Venizel included all of the secrets of the Torah, Shviksav, Shvalpeh, Nigla, Nister, Kabbalah, Maisa Bereshis, creation, the Golos, the Geula, the future world, Asad Lovay, is all included in these stories, especially in this last and most important story of the Zion Bedlers. To a very tiny degree, we can conceive, we can understand a little of this with the assistance of Abnosenzal's Pedish on it. But Nachman Chigrinzal's Pedish give us a little insight, at least to know how deep the story is. Nosenzal says that these two birds refer to the Shteitzi Potem Chayes Tehidesh, the Zedekotah speaks about, also known as the two Svidesh Netzach Vahid, the two pure birds from which the power of Nevuah comes. Every Navi receives his Nevuah from these two Svidesh Netzach Vahid. As a symbol, we speak about them as two birds, two pure birds. This too is mentioned, two pure birds with a very special sound. As the Gemara says that the Metzeda, one who is a leper, when he becomes cured, he is tummy while he's a leper. When he becomes cured, that means he's no longer tummy, he's tohar. He has to bring a special korban of two birds. Why two birds? Because the word mitzida is mitzida. He was punished with leprosy because of the fact that he spoke lashon hara. That's the punishment for lashon hara. which means that he desecrated, he defiled the power of speech or the power of voice that was given to him from heaven. Because he was mitame, this kedusha of the voice, koil, therefore he has to bring a korban, a symbol of that which is pure. The birds, the chirping of the birds, the sounds, are the sounds of tefillah, special tefillah that birds daven to Hashem in purity. So the Gemara says, let these two birds, whose koilas are pure, come and forgive the mitzvah, whose koil, whose voice had become tummy. These two birds then stand for purity of voice. These two birds, which the Nebuah comes, what are these two birds? What do they represent? They represent the Kiruvim. The two Kiruvim, the two angelic figures on both sides of the Oren Kodesh. As we find, Moshe Rabbeinu, what anytime he had to receive the voice of heaven, the Nebuah from heaven, it says the koil hayetzei mibein shnei kruvim, a voice that came from between these two kruvim, the Beis HaMikdash, whence came forth all the Nebuah. This was when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when there was an Ohel Moed, a Mishkan, and a Beis HaMikdash. When the Churban came about, and the two birds were separated, that means there no longer was the power of Nebuah, and a Churban caused the Shekhinah to go into Golas. The Shekhinah is called Rachel, Rachel Mavatka Albaneha. Rachel cries about her children, the Jews who are in Golas. And as the this is brought, it does not say Rachel Boicha Alboneha, she cries, it says Mavaka, she makes cry. Her tears, her voice of crying, causes all those who hear it to cry also. Therefore the mitzvah of getting up at Chatzais, Kumi Reini Balaila, mitzvah to rise up at Chatzais, to say the Tikkun Chatzais, to join in this wailing and crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Those who do that, they are the ones who are zecher, as the neshamas are zecher to the Chut Shel Chesed, by day the great simcha is brought upon those who cried, they are consoled. Know that you cried over the Churban, you cried over the Golas Hashchina. But mini kolach mi bechi, you may stop crying because kesh schala pulaseich, there is a reward for your deeds, a shovel, one on the gulam. Your children will return to within their boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the geula is forthcoming. As we said here, the consolation to the birds is you will find your mate, you'll be rejoined, the Shekhinah will return to its place in the Beis HaMikdash. This is the symbol of the two birds. This crying is the Shekhinah that cries Rachel Mavaka Boneha. And those who are close to the Shekhinah, they join with the Shekhinah in this Tikkun Chatzos, the Tefillah, over the Churban, crying over the Churban, mourning over it, wailing over it, as we have, that's why it's called the Wailing Wall, place of the Churban itself. Those who are zechut to cry there over the Churban will be zechut to the Simcha, the Yosad Lovay. So now, the story we have, the Betler told of the existing problem. He now showed, symbolically, the Churban, the separation of the birds, its mate, bird from its mate, the Shekhinah and Golas. He, the Tzaddik Emes, said, I have the power to correct this. What was the method he was to use? We come back to the story now, again in coded form. So he said to them, I can correct this because I have two powers. One, I can produce with my voice any sound in the world. every type of sound that exists, I can imitate, produce the exact sound with my voice. Secondly, I also have the power to throw my voice. The ventriloquist could throw his voice a short distance without detecting that he is using his voice at all. It seems to come from a different part of the room. Here, this Betlis said, I can throw my voice a very great distance. You'll see nothing coming from me, no sound coming from me. You'll hear a sound a very great distance away. So I can't produce any sound at all. I can throw this sound a great distance. But here, the sound comes to me here. You hear nothing here, and yet at a great distance away, it is heard. Therefore, my solution is, I could produce the sound of this bird and throw my voice a great distance, meaning 1,000 miles away, to let the second bird hear the sound of the first one, and draw that second bird slowly, bit by bit, towards the sound, until eventually they are rejoined. Bring them both together that way. But, of course, the question is, who can believe this, that I have this power? Come, he said, and I will show you. He led them into the forest. Then they stood there transfixed as they watched him standing completely immobile, without moving any part of his body, without moving his lips, without making any motion whatsoever. They began to hear sounds. At distance, they heard the opening of a door. And then, again, they heard the closing of the door and a pushing of the bolt, locking the door. Then they heard, a few steps further, they heard the sound of a rifle shot and the command given to the dog to go bring back, to retrieve the whatever was hit by this rifle. They heard this dog running, going into the snow, digging deeply into the snow, and retrieving what was shot. All this these wise men heard. They looked, they stared, and they saw nothing. It was all sounds. They heard nothing from this Betler, who stood there quietly, without any voice at all. All this he had done by imitating these sounds and throwing his voice a great distance. So they understood then that this obviously was within his power. He could produce all these sounds himself, and surely he could produce the sound of this bird and to bring them together again. Abinazel did not tell how he actually did it. In this case, at this point, this part of the story remains unfinished, and it's understood. This means that the tzaddik is working on it now to bring the Geula, to bring the Shekhinah back. He is working on it. It's unfinished, will be finished eventually, very shortly. But the Betlis said, as a result, you see, I have the confirmation in that land that my voice is one of extraordinary power, usually marvelous. I can make any of the sounds in the world. And now this ability, this talent, I give you, this couple, as a complete gift. You should be as I am. Not that to have the simple talent of throwing a voice, the talent of being able to use this for such a power of Kedusha. You too should become such great tzaddikim like I am. A very great simcha ensued, followed with the closing words of this tzaddik, this Betlem. Again, let's analyze the second part. When the Betler said, explained, that he's going to produce the sound to bring together these two birds, this represents a sound of the shofar. What does the shofar do? The shofar knits a broken heart, a heart that is broken through sins, a heart that is contaminated, that is impure. The koil shofar arouses a person to tshuva, corrects these sins within the person, and that is the power of Rosh Hashanah. Uru yishena mishenaschem, those who have fallen asleep during their lifetime, those whose souls are practically dead, those whose hearts have no longer a feeling of warmth to Kedusha, the sound of the shofar awakens them to do tshuva, to return to Hashem. This is the sound of Kedusha, return to Hashem. And Hashem says that you are my mate. Shuvu Eli v'yashuvu aleichem. Return to me, Hashem says, in turn, I will return to you. We'll both get together. We find that this power of throwing a voice, where do we see this Bikdusha? It sounds like a simple talent, a physical talent, ventriloquism. A person can throw his voice. What's so pure or holy about that? What is the mukka, the origin of Bikdusha? Nosazel says we find this in Tanakh. Story, beginning of the Navi, story of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi was brought by his mother Chana to the Beis HaMikdash to serve there childhood on, under Eli the Kohen Gadol. Eli accepted him as one to serve him, this young boy to serve him. So Eli placed Shmuel HaNavi in the outer room. This was in the Mishkan. Eli the Kohen Gadol slept in a room that was close to the Aron Kodesh. There was the Aron Kodesh itself, the Holy of Holies. Just outside of it slept Eli HaKohen. And outside of his room, more towards the outside, slept Shmuel HaNavi. As the Tanakh, the Navi tells us, Teda tells a story that one night, while they were asleep or in bed, Shmuel HaNavi heard the voice of Hashem calling him. He rose up, thought it was Eli Kohen Gadol. He heard his voice being mentioned. He ran to Eli the Kohen Gadol and said, "Here I am. I'm ready to serve you. Call me." Eli said, "Go back to your bed. I did not call you." This happened again and again. Eli said to Shmuel HaNavi, "Go back to your bed. Next time that you hear the voice, stand up and say, 'I am ready to hear the voice of Hashem.'" First time the voice of Hashem speaking to Shmuel HaNavi. Note that this sound was heard by Shmuel HaNavi and not by Eli HaKohen. The Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy Ark, where the voice came, between the two kilvim on the side of the Holy Ark, that was closer to Eli HaKohen. That voice skipped over the room of Eli HaKohen to Shmuel HaNavi, which means that there is a certain Kedusha, the voice of Nevuah, bypassing those who are not fit to hear this voice of Nevuah and reaching those who are. This special talent, the special Kedusha of a voice moving over, bypassing, being cast at a distance, is the Kedusha of the voice of Nevuah, which means that a Navi who receives this voice receives this power. And this was the power that the Betler displayed. Now, the Betler showed them, we said, his attempt to bring together these two birds, attempt to end the Golas and bring about the Geula. He showed them as an example, going out into the forest, sound of a lock being open, the door opening, the door closing, then the bolt being moved into place, the ringing sound of the bolt being locked, then the sound of a dog, sound of a shot, door going out. These are all very mundane, very physical, very base type of sounds. How can we attribute Kedusha to these sounds? There's nothing holy about this at all. The reason is that the Betlis showed them that while in Golis, the Kedusha, the Shekhinah is in Golis. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, even the Shefa, the blessings, have been given to the Klipos. Zohar HaKadosh says that the Gemara tells us, Oin lai li bonim shegola mishulchan avihem. Woe to those children of the king, the princes, who have been expelled, driven out from the table of their father, the king. As long as the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, as long as the Beis HaMikdash existed, the shefa, the blessing, the food, nourishment, panasa, came directly from Hashem, from the king, to the Bnei Yisrael, or Bnei Malachim. The Jews are considered the sons of the king, the princes, and this shefa came directly to the Jews. Where did the Goyim get their shefa from? Where did they get their food from? After all, there is food, there is rain, and there is vegetation. Things grow throughout the entire world. The rest of the nations also have food. There's a shortage of grain in certain red countries, but there is still food there. The food is being supplied by other countries who are Goyim also. Where does the Shefa come then? When the Jews had the Beis HaMikdash and the Shefa went to the Jews, the answer is that which fell off, the waste at the table, wasted at the princes, the sons of the king, cast away, throw away after the meal, that's given to the dogs, the animals around the table, to the stables, so that the Goyim throughout the world receive their shefa from the psilis. Waste matter of the food and shefa of the Jews was given to the other nations, the 70 nations. This was all during the good time when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. Zohar HaKadosh says, however, when the Golus came, the tragedy of the children being driven away, driven out of the palace, going into Golus, this Shefa still came down. Now this Shefa was scattered to the world, to the Goyim. They now receive the portions that truly belong to the Jews. Whatever wealth the Goyim have today is what really, rightfully belongs to the Jews. The Jews being in Golis, they receive this wealth. The Jews today are like beggars, Rahman al-Islam, who have to receive the cast-offs, the fall-offs of the wealth of the Goyim. They live in different countries, Golis, they work there, and as beggars they receive a stipend from these nations, having to pay taxes for the right of receiving what actually is theirs. There is no recognition whatsoever on the part of the Goyim that this is really the property rightfully owned by the Jews. Therefore, the Zohar HaKadosh says a very powerful statement, very powerful. Shmuel Chayzel says there is a very strong warning by Hashem. This warning is one, a dangerous sign that Hashem says to the Goyim. Actually, you are the Bnei Hagar. You Goyim are the children of the maid. The mistress is Sarah, which means Sarah al Kol Ha'olam Kulay. The Jews rule over the world. You are the children of their maid, their servant. As a maid, you were treated right. When you were a maid, you were treated right, you were given everything by your mistress, you were treated wonderfully. Now that Shifchot Tidash Gevirta, now the time comes that the maid has risen up and now rules over the mistress temporarily, not because of your goodness, Goyim, but because the mistress has committed a wrong deed, so temporarily she must suffer. But if you don't know your place, you cannot recognize the fact this is temporary. If you cannot treat the mistress with proper dignity and respect and give her the food that's entitled to her, then one day you return to your place as slaves, you're going to pay very bitterly for the maltreatment, the disrespect you gave to your mistress. This is the warning Hashem gives to the Goyim. While the Jews are in Golis, of course, obviously the Goyim ignore this warning, obviously they'll have to pay the extreme penalty for it. Meanwhile, this Shefa is scattered, the true Shefa belongs to the Jews, is scattered among the Goyim. And it's this that the Tzaddik Emes strives to correct, to bring the Jews back to their rightful place. And therefore, now, during this Golus, with the Shefa scattered, it is symbolized by the sounds of Kedusha having descended to the low level, the sound of a shot, the sound of a dog, the sound of digging. But this is all a very temporary item. Until these Kailas will rise up, will rise to a great height, where they will become, again, the Kail Shofar. What does the Kail Shofar do? How does it bring together these two birds? We have a pasuk in the Torah which says, Yemahu, it will come this day, that time, time of the Geula, when this long Golus will come to an end. Yitoka b'shofar godol, it will be blown this powerful shofar, this great sound. Shofar, shapir, means beauty, the sound of beauty coming from the throat of beauty of the Tzaddik Emes. That Kail Shofar will be sound, bo hanidochim, all those nidochim who were driven out, expelled, driven to the furthest, remotest parts of the world, 1,000 miles away, that bird who was so far away, Jews who were separated from their home, the sound of the Shofar will bring all Jews back. They'll be assembled. This will be known as Kibbutz Golis, the assembling of all the Jews from different remote parts of the world, bring them together again, the rightful place, the rightful status in Eretz Yisrael, with the return of the Imo, the mother of these children, which is the Shekhinah Kdesha. Shekhinah will come back too. Will be reunited, these two birds, which means the power of Nevuah, which is Imu Mesak Chal Benin. That's the Bina, the Shekhinah, from where it comes forth, this power of Nevuah. This is the sounding of the Shofar of Yosef Lavoi through the Tzaddik Emes. This is what the Betler said he could do, and this is what he is doing now. And this is the work of the Tzaddik now, with which he occupies himself, because the Tzaddik's concern is the Golus of the Shekhinah, to bring the Shekhinah back from Golus, to bring the Geula Shleima. This bracha the Betler gave to this couple, Bizecha, to be like him, to become great tzaddikim like him, of course, to be Bizecha to the culmination. The main bracha was they should be Bizecha to see the completion of his act upon his part. It was naturally this great simcha that followed. They rejoiced that entire day till the next day. On the fifth day, again, they were very happy. They were rejoicing the fifth day of the Shivas Mi'amishta. They reminded themselves about the fifth Betler, the one who had a hunchback or bent shoulders. They yearned for this Betler very much. Of course, they wanted to have the simcha of seeing this Betler, the greatness of this tzaddik, which means the new, next sfida, next power of Kedusha, which, as we will see, is tied very much directly with the former Betler. Next shiur will show the marvels and wonders of this story, how the story is actually tied together. We should be zecher to the emes, come close to the tzaddik emes, see with our eyes, zecher to shtatchus, kibrei shel tzaddik, and to see the ula shleima through the powers of the tzaddik and through the power of emunah, paid up. Amen.